One of the first things that I wanted to mention is I had a colleague. He has just recently passed a number of years ago, but he was a pediatrician. His name was Dr. Meyer Eisenstein, and not only was he an MD, but he had a master's in public health, and he was also an attorney. So can you imagine an attorney, an MD, and a master's in public health? He was a graduate of the University of Illinois Medical School and the Medical College of Wisconsin School of Public Health and of John Marshall Law School. So, you know, he's got quite a bit of experience, and he died in his, I think it was mid to late 70s, and we were colleagues. I've had him on my radio show. And anyway, one of the things that I wanted to mention is that in his 39 years of practicing medicine, he and his practice have delivered and cared for over more than 50,000 children who were delivered either at home or through his clinic. And very few were ever delivered in a hospital. The other thing that is so noticeable about that, you're talking anywhere from 35 to 50,000 children. Now, when you look at autism, right now autism is happening in 1 in 68 children. 1 in 68. And in his entire practice, he had less than 5 autism cases in the 50,000 children. And the reason is according to Dr. Eisenstein, is because he did very minimal or no vaccinations at birth. There is virtual no autism, no asthma, no allergies, no respiratory illnesses. There's no diabetes in his unvaccinated children. And that's a telltale revelation when compared to the national rates, okay? And now think of that. In all of those children, because he never vaccinated, okay, close to 50,000, okay, there has never virtually, again, in that 50,000, less than 5, no autism, no asthma patients, no severe allergies, no respiratory illnesses that were chronic, runny noses, and ending up no diabetes, and none of these from his unvaccinated children. And that's pretty radical. In his latest book, Making an Informed, that was his last book before he passed, Making an Informed Vaccine Decision, goes along with his other books, Give Birth at Home with Home Birth Advantages, Safer Medicine, Don't Vaccinate Before You Educate. Those are the third edition. And so there was a, he's had a lot. He wrote a book called Medical Hazards of Hormone Replacement Therapy. But anyway, he's been on the Oprah Winfrey Show. He was on Hannity. He was together with attorney Alan Phillips, that they co-hosted a show, Vaccine Rights. You know your Vaccine Rights Hour. That was heard every week on, also on Blog Talk Radio. So anyway, using the Einstein Metabolic Syndrome HCG protocol, he personally lost over 100 pounds. And so he helped his patients. But the reason I bring him up is because out of that 50,000 children, no autism, no asthma, no allergies. Now, whether someone believes in vaccines or not, that is a pretty radical number of people that were not vaccinated, And again, he's got unbelievable statistics when it comes to autism and some of these other diseases. So it's quite amazing, and I was quite impressed on that. There's an old book from the early 1900s by a gentleman called Arnold Ehrhardt, and he wrote a book called The Mucusless Diet. And basically what the diet is a lot of fresh fruit and vegetables and cooked vegetables and very little grain products, a very little gluten. All of those produce that mucusy. Think of the word gluten and how close it is to glue. And so when you have a lot of these gluten or carbohydrates or dairy products, you get that mucus in the back of your throat, and you're, you know, always trying to clear your throat, and basically that's what happens. So, you know, have her stop drinking milk, maybe even stop eating cheese for at least a week. After a while, though, cheese should be okay, because cheese is different than drinking milk. So, anyway, that's for you, Mike. Hopefully you're listening and got that information. And I think we're okay. They couldn't hear the caller, Adon, but I answered that question anyway. So, again, let's see. I think we're at our first break of the day, morning, so 20 after. Usually we try and get it as close as we can. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph. We're going to go ahead and take our break. Memorial Day, by the way, celebrated the last Monday in May. And it's the holiday set aside to pay tribute to those who died serving in the military. And sometimes there's been confusion over the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day, and I wanted to clear that up. So again, Memorial Day is always the last Monday in May, and it's a holiday set aside to pay tribute to those who died serving in the military. And how it came about is 3 years after the Civil War ended, on May 5th, 1868, the head of an organization of Union veterans, the Grand Army of the Republic, or GAR, established Decoration Day as a time for the nation to decorate the graves of the war dead with flowers. And Major General John A. Logan declared that Decoration Day should be observed in May 30th. And it is believed that date was the chosen because flowers could be in bloom all over the country. And the passage of the National Holiday Act of 1971 by Congress made it an official holiday. I covered Memorial Day, and again, that's what we're celebrating here, the last Monday of May. And again, that was enacted by Congress in 1971, where they made it an official holiday. Now, Veterans Day, this is a federal holiday that falls on November 11th, and it's designed as a day to honor all who have served in the military, not just who passed away and died. And according to military.com, Veterans Day began as Armistice Day to honor the end of World War I, which officially took place on November 11th, 1918. And so that's where it originally started. And in 1954, after having been through both World War II, the Korean War, the 83rd U.S. Congress, at the urging of the Veterans Service Organization, amended the Act of 1938 by striking out the word armistice and inserting the word veterans. So it went from Armistice Day to Veterans Day with the approval of this legislation on June 1st, 1954. November 11th became the day to honor American veterans of all wars. So that's the difference between the two. And again, I wanted to just mention that because sometimes there is some confusion on that. We are back. We have some callers on the line. Is that it?
Yes, we actually, I think we have Elvira on the line.
Oh, yes, I asked her. Elvira, you had an interesting experience last week. And when you told me about it, I was just so impressed how you handled things and what you talked about. Would you please mention that? I just was so impressed, and I wanted to say thank you on that. But it was so interesting. I thought the public would want to know.
Yeah, no, I was actually, I had been out of the office because I was in a car accident about 2 years ago, and I had went to my deposition, and, on a deposition, they ask you a lot of questions, your background, where you work, and all of that, and we took a little break during that time, and one of the attorneys, basically just said, oh, so you work for that homeopath doctor who claims to cure people from cancer, and then they end up dying anyway, huh? And that kind of really bothered me when he said that, because people are so uneducated on what alternative health is. And he even said a client of his went in and took his wife there to you and ended up dying anyways. And I said, well, no, actually, Dr. Ben Joseph is a traditional naturopath, and he never claims to cure people, and from cancer. And I don't know. It just I wanted to clear things up on how such an educated person would say a comment like that, And so I told him, people come in there, with stage 4 cancer, and they expect a miracle, and they want to be cured from their cancer. But, alternative health is basically a lifestyle change, it's something that you do throughout your life. And if you have a chronic disease like, cancer, stage 4 cancer, or any other type of disease, and you want to do an alternative program, that's where Dr. Ben Joseph comes in. He's actually a professor for alternative health, and he teaches you on how to help yourself, and he gives you all the tools on what to do to be a healthier person. So, I kind of wanted to clear that up, and a lot of people want, do come into the store and expect to get that little miracle pill from you, doc. And, there's no such thing as that. So, just wanted to let everybody know that, we can.
Well, you used an example. You used an example that I wanted to mention about clubs, going to the exercise club.
Tell that story. I did give an example. I said, it's just like if you're a very overweight person, if you are very overweight and you want to lose weight, and you have a membership at the gym, and, you're eating all the wrong foods, and, you barely go to the gym, then you're not applying what you're doing. You're still going to be overweight. And that's the same thing with Dr. Ben Joseph. If you don't apply the program and the tools that he's giving you to help yourself, it's the same thing, And so that's basically what I told him. And the court reporter was so funny. She was like, that's a perfect example of why people don't understand. She's like, I'm so much into alternative health too. She's like, and that's just a perfect example of what you gave him right now. You have to apply what you do, and it's like anything, out there, you have to do it if you want to be healthy. If you don't, you can't blame people, or you can't blame the gym for being overweight.
Exactly.
Not going to the gym. It's just,
Well,
people
I really
need to get more educated.
Yeah, and I really appreciate
it. To help them.
So
You're
thank
welcome,
you.
Doc.
I thank you very much. That was just a good analogy. How many people own their gym memberships and they go once a month or so and they can't understand why they're not getting stronger or losing weight? Or they go to the nutritionist and they get a program, but they still, you're still eating the fast foods. And so thank you so much, Elvita, for that was interesting. I know that happened last week. So it was really something I wanted people to know. So, and it changed, the attorneys then at the end kind of changed their attitude is what they said.
Yeah, they actually did. He was like, you know, that, you know, since he put it that way, you know, I never thought about alternative health that way, you know, and they just, you know, kind of like, you know, agreed that, yeah, you do have to apply it, you know, and for it to work for anyone, you know.
Right.
And it was just awesome experience that day.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. So there's...
All right, Doc.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And so I really do, because it was a lot of people mistake that and think we just have a magic button or a magic pill or the easy button. And it isn't. It's a complete lifestyle change. And if your immune system is strong and you give everything you need, we've seen really serious cancers either get arrested or even reversed. So... the body's a miracle, and it can do amazing things. And when you treat it like such and give it the right materials, it can really do a phenomenal thing. So thank you so much, Elvita. But again, we make no claims. And if you hear people telling, he's telling people to go off their medication. We never tell people to go off any of their medication. So if you're hearing that, it's not true. The only medication that I've ever said that I wouldn't take is statin drugs. I think that they're they don't work. The research is not there. And statin drugs, we know, cause muscle damage. And yes, it'll lower your cholesterol, but it also causes muscle damage. And what's your heart made out of? A muscle. So why would we take a drug that causes muscle damage? And that's because you died with all of science behind you. So anyway, another article that I wanted to talk about. Are we good, or is there more callers online?
We do have a listen-only, and we have a Sylvia on the line as well.
Should we take Sylvia? You want to take your call, Sylvia, before the top of the hour?
Hi, Dr. Joseph.
Hi there.
I hope you're doing well.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I'm calling to ask you, I have a friend who has a urinary tract infection that's been very, they've gone to several doctors and they're not helping him. And I told him, you need to go the natural route, but I can't remember what's good for that.
Oh, that's very good. So it's a male with a chronic UTI. Sometimes... with males, the prostate is involved in the most. So that would be number one.
They did check that.
Okay. Well, a lot of times they're just checking the PSA. But if he's waking up at night, as an example, and he's having to urinate 3, 4, 5 times a night, so the first thing I would do is...
He said the burning. The burning.
So I would give him urinary maintenance... which is one formula, and I probably would do 3 capsules 3 times a day and do it for the whole bottle. And then the other one that I would give is Echinacea and Golden Seal. That works as a natural antibiotic. Excuse me. And again, I would do that one bottle at a high dose of maybe 3 capsules 3 times a day. So those, okay. Then... eating asparagus, parsley, cilantro, you know, a lot of fresh fruits, cooked vegetables sometimes are easier on the system when you have an infection. So that, and eat organic. During that time, I would make sure they're eating organic. Maybe when you're having an infection, you go light on food and eat more soups and things like that. You can make a vegetable soup. And one of the things you can do is put it in the blender and whip it in a blender. And actually, you can make it easier to take. So anyway, that's what I would do. But again, men's formula, salt palmetto, that's always for the prostate and help shrink that down. So, you know, I would look at it from two ends, one urinary tract and the other prostate. So urinary maintenance and Echinacea golden seal, and then the other one would be a men's formula and salt palmetto. Thank you, Sylvie. I really appreciate it.
Let me ask
yes.
you quick, doctor. Is colloidal silver good for that or not?
Oh, yes. Silver micronutrient, colloidal silver. Again, that's always, and sometimes I forget to mention that, because that works as a natural antibiotic. So, again, for an adult, anywhere from, there's no real overdose, from a teaspoon three times a day to a tablespoon three times a day, you know, and anywhere in between, that's a very good supplement to help go after, again, any kind of infection. So that would be something.
With water, would you dilute the teaspoon with water or not?
Yeah, I would put it in a little, instead of just putting a teaspoon in my mouth, I'd put it in a glass of water and then drink that water, swish it around in my mouth so it gets all my gums, and then swallow it.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Okie doke. Thank you, Sylvia. There we are. Just before we finish up the top of this hour, I wanted to mention, you know, a lot of people are drinking wine. And California wines have been listed as some of the best wines in the world recently. Well, anyway, there was a study done by Microbe Infotech Lab, and that's a laboratory in St. Louis. And they found an advocacy group called Moms Across America, and they sent samples of wine to this laboratory, and 100% of California wines that were tested contained the toxic Roundup, the toxic weed killer Roundup, glyphosates. And the samples came from vineyards of all sizes. They came from small vineyards to very large operations. The vineyards included those that were used modern agriculture, and as well as those that were organic. And even the organic wines all tested positive for Roundup. And even the ones that had never been sprayed with Roundup, the trade name for the Monsanto Bayer toxic glyphosate herbicides, so they were much higher in crops that were sprayed directly, but even those that have had no sprays fell victim to the reckless use of these toxins because of its spreading in the air. And it's also a patented as an antibiotic, so it's in the as if the fact that it's a known carcinogen isn't enough, we can be sure it's also disrupting our microbiome. So that's the good bacteria in your intestines. So this herbicide Roundup is coming now in all of the wine. And it's like terrible, because people drink a glass of wine thinking that it's very beneficial. And now we're finding that even the organic wines across the California, all the way across, and all the other wines tested in the United States are testing positive for Roundup. So anyway, that's something that I wanted to mention. Let's see.
We have a minute and 45.
Minute and 45 seconds. Any questions? Yes.
Oh, we do have Lynn's on the line already, so she's ready.
Oh, Lynn, yeah, we'll take her at the top of the hour after we take our break. So we're going to be talking with the magnet company, Serenity. So be careful on that. Let's see, I wanted to mention, did I get, yes, just before we go, I have about a minute left. For those of you taking GERD medication, GERD is that gastrointestinal reflux disease, and it's a esophageal reflux, and where food comes back up on you and you're getting chronic heartburn. Well, anyway, they found that people that take the chronic GERD medication do have a increased risk of cardiovascular disease. And it's probably, you know, commonly prescribed to treat gastroesophagitis reflux disease. And it's things like proton pump inhibitors, you know, Prilosec and Nexium and these other antacids that help stop heartburn. Anyway, 4 out of every 10 adults in the United States is on one of these medications. So anyway, it controls the sphincter valve in your esophagus. When it stays open, the food can come back up on you. So they incurred, you know, these GERD symptoms, chronic heartburn and acid in your mouth and throat. So anyway, these acid reflux medications, like Prilosec and the other proton pump inhibitors, it neutralizes acids and gives you, you know, relief from the heartburn. But what now they're finding out, it increases your risk of heart disease and nutritional deficiencies. So what's happening, they alleviate your symptoms, but they don't stop the physical effects, and that's where your stomach is not working up to par. And so what happens, you're not absorbing the nutrients, you're not digesting the nutrients well, and absorbing those nutrients. So anyway, for those of you taking GERD or anything, be careful. If you drink the water the way I tell you, a glass of water an hour before every meal, a glass of water with each meal with a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar, and then a glass of water 2 hours after each meal, that's going to really make the a big difference. So anyway, you know, heed that advice. I have a story on magnets, because I was in the store, and I'm not usually on the floor because I'm in my office usually seeing clients. But for this one time, I was on the floor, and this this big old Texas guy came in. A rancher, big 10-gallon hat and his big cowboy boots, and he had a big beer belly, and he was an old guy, probably easily 70. And he comes in and he goes, can you help me? And I go, well, what do you got? You know, let's see. He says, look, I'm a wealthy guy. I've been all over the world. I've got neuropathy from this diabetes that I got, and I have this neuropathy that I'm dealing with in my feet all the time. And I said, can you, and he says, can you help me? And I said, well, the first thing that I would do is I would say, here, get these insole magnets and put them in your boots. And if it's really bad, sometimes I would say, take 2 pair and put one on top of the other and put them in your boots. Even if it was real severe, I'd put those magnets in a pair of socks, and then I'd wear those socks at night when you go to sleep. And he goes, oh, those aren't going to work. Come on. He says, some of those people would have given me magnets long ago. And I said, well, look, if they don't work, I'll bring them back next week, and I'll give you your money back. And he says, well, that's fair. And so I said, okay. So he brought a couple pairs, and he put them in his shoes, and he put them in. Well, lo and behold, next week he comes back, and this time they called me out of my office. He says, I want to speak to Ben Joseph who sold me these magnets. And so I said, uh-oh, he's bringing them back. They didn't work. So instead, no, what he said was, he says, hey, man, I got to thank you. He said, I've been everywhere. I've spent thousands of dollars. And this is the first week I've ever had relief wearing these magnets. And he said, I really want to thank you. Well, not only, and again, he was a rich guy. So then he proceeded to buy a magnet a mattress pad. He got insoles for all of his family. He got some necklaces and bracelets. And, you know, he just went overboard and bought all the magnets. Well, first of all, because he could afford them. And second of all, because he found out that they worked for himself. So that was my own story, and it was really pleasing because this guy was an old codger, and, you know, you're expecting, oh, these aren't going to work, and yet they worked real well. So, you know, it's somebody who wasn't, like, into holistic health. He was just an old meat and potatoes, you know, cattle rancher.
And it's usually the toughest clients that prove that they work, you
know?
That
they work, you know, and so it was really quite good. And I was so pleased on that. Anyway, I want to mention, you know, everybody's drinking bottled water, Now, last week I talked about bottled water and most of the waters coming out being radioactive. Well, this week another study came out, and the study warns that 100% of the bottled waters tested came back with microplastics, these micro beads of plastic, some having much more than others. But they said, think twice about making your purchases based on pure and safe bottled water, because a new study held that a nonprofit organization tested all kinds of water products right off the shelf. And they found that most of the brands tested had microplastics. And they really produced some of the big brands contain these trace microplastics. And the company that was the worst contender was Nestle products. And the research was performed by a team from Orb Media at the laboratory of the State University of New York. And they did samples of water bottles from 11 different brands. And most of all the brands were very minor amounts, but a lot of them had high amounts of the plastic beaduals. And again, the brands that were tested, the biggest offender came from Nestle Corporation. And that's the one with that real soft plastic, you know. You open the top and you can't even hold it without squeezing it, and it all makes a mess. But Nestle products, Nestle Pure Life, contain more than 10,000 particles of plastics. So, again, you have to be careful drinking good. That's why we recommend, as an example, the doTERRA water company, and you're making fresh water every time you drink it, or you fill up your own bottle and put it in the refrigerator. So that's some of the... issues with water. But Kangen water, that's going to give you pure water with nothing in it. It'll filter out all of that. Another article I came up, I've had a lot of questions because I've had a number of heart disease patients, And I pulled up a paper because I wanted people to know the warning signs of a pending heart attack. And I pulled up the paper that gave us some of the most common symptoms of a heart attack. You know, now each individual is different and may experience symptoms differently, but the most common symptoms for a pending heart attack is where you feel severe pressure or fullness or like a squeezing pain, discomfort in the center of your chest that lasts more than just a few minutes. And the pain can be discomfort, and it spreads to your shoulders, neck, and down your arms, especially your left arm. And you can get pain in your jaw, especially the left side of your jaw. The chest pain increases in intensity until you're grabbing your chest. And chest pain that's not relieved by sitting down for a moment or taking a nitroglycerin for those that are having heart disease. The chest pain that occurs with any fall of the following. So if you're feeling sweating and you break out in this cool, clammy sweat in your skin, and all of a sudden you get pale, you get shortness of breath, nausea or vomiting with the shortness of breath, dizziness, fainting, unexplained weakness or fatigue, or rapid or irregular heartbeat. So although most common is the chest pain, which is the key warning sign of the heart attack, it can be confused sometimes with heartburn. So if the indigestion doesn't go away and it's causing this pain in your chest, not in your throat, with the heartburn, but pain in your chest, and you're getting this numbing and weakness down your right arm, that could be symptoms of a major heart attack, and so you want to be careful. But that's the time I wouldn't hesitate, and I would call 911 and make sure that you're being taken care of. You know, I'd rather err on the side of caution than on the side of, it'll go away fine. So, again, you want to be careful. Let's see, did I cover, were there some articles that I was going to, oh, yes, there was a two articles that I wanted to cover. One is women with breast implants. What we're finding is that the breast implants, whether they're the silicone or the saline, that it has an effect, both types has an effect on your immune system, and more women are reporting rare immune system cancers related to the implants, or just rare inflammatory responses. Now, we're talking about sometimes those breast implants may give way and break and tear, but that's different. So breast implants may give women confidence, but they're also giving a rising number of them these kind of rare cancers. The Food and Drug Administration announced recently that more women with implants are being diagnosed with a anaplastic large cell lymphoma, and it's a rare and deadly type of cancer that affects the immune system cells. So compared to women without the breast implants, there was a significantly higher risk factor for those using the implants. So it's just something I wanted to bring up. Often it's the textured breast implants that help it adhere to the skin more that are more to blame. But again, I just want women that are having a breast implant to be careful and to watch themselves. And if they're having an immune system issue, to get it checked right away and make sure that they're doing okay. Now, one more article, and I think we're coming close to the end.
We're at 5:25.
Okay, 5 minutes of, five more minutes.
Yes.
Okay, well, anyway, there's just a lot of fever going around and a lot of discussion going around about measles. And now we've had, 800, 900 cases of measles throughout the United States. And they're talking about it being so dangerous because so many people have come down with measles. But one thing that you're not hearing, and you're not hearing any deaths from the measles. So even though people are coming down with measles, nobody's dying from measles. And one of the things that came out is that it says the measles vaccines kill more children than the measles itself, and it's not even close. And the article goes on to say that this is official data, by the way, from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. And it says, with all the hysteria and fear-mongering about measles that's sweeping mainstream media headlines these days, one might assume that children everywhere are dropping dead from this chickenpox measles infection. You know, because it's one of those children diseases, mumps, measles, chicken pox. But according to the Center for Disease Control, not a single person has died while being infected with measles in the last 15 years. So they may be one or two that we don't know about, but that's all. In the last 15 years, very few or none have died because they've been infected with the measles. On the other hand, it's an undeniable fact that at least 100 people and 100 children have died as a consequence of receiving the MMR vaccine for measles, mumps, and rubella, which we've all been told by the government health authorities is supported to protect against measles with all the science behind it. Well, as is now obvious to everyone who's actually paying attention to the statistics, the MMR vaccine is actually far more dangerous than the measles itself, which back in the 1950s and the 1960s, that was just joked about on television. The Brady Bunch and Leave It to Beaver, you know, they were all being a harmless rite of passage from childhood to adulthood. I remember as a kid, we had like measles parties that one person would have the measles. They'd invite all kinds of the other kids over and everybody would get exposed. They'd all get the measles at the same time. And basically, after that was over, they were then protected for the rest of their life.
90 seconds.
Oh, we only have 90 seconds left. So anyway, I wanted to mention that because more kids are dying from the measles vaccine than dying from the measles itself. So no question about it. And I wanted to say bring that up. But let's go right to our disclaimer. I'm going to have to read 60 that.
60 seconds.
Read that pretty fast. Okay. The opinions and views expressed on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not endorsed by Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, or any other social media outlets. Most of the therapeutic modalities mentioned on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not recognized by standard allopathic medicine and are not endorsed by the American Medical Association or the FDA. The very concept of natural therapies for maintaining the body systems are foreign to the thinking of modern allopathic medicine. Join us again next Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Natural Solutions Radio with me, Eliezer Ben-Joseph, traditional naturopath, and today's show is brought to you by Prime Longevity and Health Naturally. Whew. And I got that in when you did that. We only have 10 seconds left, so I want to say thank you all for joining us. And this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph from Natural Solutions Radio, and we'll be back next week with another show.